This ASAP video is brought to you by Team Builder, the online strength and conditioning platform for coaches and their athletes. This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcasts. Today I'm at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. That's the home of the Florida Gators. I'm in Gainesville, Florida, University of Florida, and I'm with Paul Chandler. He's the head strength and conditioning coach for the Florida Gator baseball squad, and they've had tons of success here. Paul, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, it's always cool to get a baseball guy on our program, and, you know, especially one that's won a national championship. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you got here at Florida?
Yeah, so I started my career back here in Florida in 2005. I was kind of looking for, a volunteer internship to finish out my master's degree, and sent my resume out to a billion schools like a lot of people do. And I heard back from two schools, and Florida was one of them. And started here as a volunteer and got my teeth wet with all different sports here, primarily early on with women's throwers and football. And then kind of progressed from there, went going to West Virginia, worked with Mike Joseph, doing football and baseball there. Then coming back in 2010 here at Florida, doing baseball and football. Then, you know, the last 7 years, I guess, transitioned pretty much to baseball and softball only. Been a crazy ride. Obviously, a lot of success, and there's a lot of people that are part of that success. You know, it helps, obviously, if you have really, really good players, and then, obviously, if you have really, really good coaches and good athletic trainers around you.
When you think back to that Florida Gator National Championship, you guys won, any particular memory that kind of jumps out about that?
Yeah, I would say we've obviously in the last 10 years taken a lot of really really highly talented teams out into Omaha. But kind of what stuck out to my mind about that team and was kind of different is they kind of really took a blue collar, kind of almost a Bad News Bears type of approach. And that team definitely kind of struggled at different points of the year for what our standard is, and just kind of embrace the, well, we're here, let's have fun, enjoy each other, and enjoy the Omaha experience, which is incredible. What that town does for that two and a half weeks is, it's one of the last great things in college sports, I think. I describe it all the time to people, like, what's Omaha like? It's like for 2.5 weeks, it is like a football Saturday in the fall tied in like with a cross of a state fair. It's just a tremendous, tremendous experience, and they do such a great job putting it on. But probably the approach with just the kids for that postseason run was this blue collar, let's enjoy our friendships and just play ball, enjoy just ball.
Paul, you may not be aware, but we have hundreds of high school coaches that tune into our podcasts and check in our videos on ASAP, Athletic Strength and Power. If I'm a high school strength coach or a head baseball coach at a high school, what are some of the things you think I would be focused on?
Yeah, I kind of think for the high school strength coach, I think is in thinking about first cumulative stress on the athlete. I think it's something that even college strength coaches need to really think about when you're kind of designing your workouts as far as cumulative stress. So what that I'm kind of talking specifically about is throwing volume. So in your practice, how much throwing are your infielders doing? How much throwing volume are your outfielders doing? How much volume are your pitchers doing? All that will have a direct impact on what you will do in your room besides what you have to use in your room to train. So kind of with that said, because of cumulative volume, cumulative stress on arms and backs versus swings and pitches thrown, balls thrown during practice, we do no Olympic lifting with our baseball players. For us, that means no power cleans, no hang cleans, no jerks or snatches, anything like that. Again, just because of cumulative stress in the body. I'm not saying those are bad exercises and this and that. I just think the risk reward with cumulative stress on the body, you just have to be mindful. And I think if you were to take every baseball player that we have here or across America and you start imaging shoulders, all of them are going to have fraying with the labrum. So again, you just have to be kind of careful when you start implementing certain things if you're going to add more stress on the body when ultimately the ultimate goal is for them to play ball.
Yeah, Paul, what time do you guys normally work out? You know, the Gators, what time they come in?
Yeah, so we bring our kids in the morning. And I know there's some places that, you know, bring kids in the afternoon. But dealing with college kids, they might not make the best decisions the night before. So if we have them get up, you know, we usually go two groups, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock group. We know where our kids are. We know they're going to train. We know most likely after they train, they're going to get a good breakfast, and then they're going to go to class. So it really kind of gives them that mindset of a professional, as in you're going to go up and take care of your business. When you start looking at habits of most professional athletes, they get up early, they eat, and they go train and, you know, and try to get the majority of their schoolwork done early afternoon so they can enjoy being a normal human being in the evening. So we try to structure in a way that our kids will have good habits, that it won't be a shock from the next level. Because obviously our kids that all come here have aspirations of playing at the next level.
When you bring your squad in for that 7 o'clock workout, what's the first thing? How does it all unfold?
Yeah, so the first thing we do is we always kind of talk about the plan of the day. I kind of feel like it's really important for everyone to kind of know what the goals and objectives are for the day. So it's usually kind of going over kind of the basics of what's going to be expected of the day, what lifts are going to execute, and if there's any sort of messaging for the day. And then we always go into a warm-up, and our warm-up is usually a four-station warm-up. Always some hurdle or hip mobility work. Always some sort of foot quickness work, whether it's with ladders or jump ropes. Then usually some sort of core work, and then some sort of upper body prehab, whether it's, you know, stick stretching or doing some thoracic spine mobility. And then we go into our lift. I would say too, like, you know, people that aren't really familiar with how our program, it's very, very basic and simplistic, because I really want our guys to be very, very detail-oriented, but also be very, very good at the basics. And then later in their career, they can kind of get more into the flair, because there are still, I think, a lot of baseball coaches out there, especially in the college sector, and even kind of creeps in the high school sector, where they get too caught up in the flair and versus getting away from the basics, meat and potatoes of training.
So when you when that group starts at 7, what time do they normally, you know, walk out and head down to?
Yeah, so for us, the past several years when the rule was you had 6 hours of training, so, you know, it'd be an hour, just a little under an hour. This year for us, we're still going to still have 5 workouts a week with baseball. We'll go about 48 minutes because we only have 4 hours of training now with 4 hours of skill instruction in the off season. In season, our workouts are a lot quicker. We usually go 2 days a week. And those workouts are usually our guys are done in about 35, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And that's so off season. It's a 4 day. How do you break?
It's usually
that
like
in?
A 4 day split with one run day. And I would say, I mean, we don't really run our guys a ton. We do our the big run emphasis is usually on a Friday or a Wednesday, and that's usually more of a mental conditioning type of day. And we usually do 1 day of a speed work, but we don't run our guys a ton, and that goes the same thing with our pitcher conditioning, because, again, what every athlete needs is usually really, really different. So some guys might need to run more for recovery and talking about managing pitchers, and then some pitchers might not need to run as much, and their lifting and just some sprint workout can be enough as far as what they need for recovery.
So you'd follow up that warm-up activity, which you explained, and then guys would break into groups and go off and do their things. So for example, your last big workout that you had, what were some of the exercises that you used to get that whole workout accomplished?
Yeah, so right now, currently, we have our freshmen here for Summer B. We have all our freshmen here. That's something we like to do to get our kids here, get them used to the college campus, where the academics, dining hall is, everything before the big flood of everyone being on campus in the fall. So kind of what we do is we usually, I like to start all our baseball players off, if we can, depending on how the room flows, is with their lower body. So the other day, we obviously started with a squat, and then we some sort of explosive movement, whether it's on the vertex or vertimaxes, box jumps or broad jumps, something like that. And then we usually go into a single leg with a hamstring, and then some sort of monster walk where you're hitting the mini bands. And then if it's a total body, we'll go into upper body after that. But typically with baseball players, I've just kind of found over the years, usually legs are going to be a little bit more sore than arms, actually, unless you're talking about a pitcher, per se, if they pitched the night before. It just kind of helps them get warm whole body-wise if you're going to end up doing an upper body lift later they'll tend to go a little harder or not be as skittish if their arm is hanging a little bit.
Do a lot of bench pressing with the Gators.
Yeah, so that's obviously a hot button topic in the world of baseball. So the answer is we do press here at the University of Florida. It's dumbbell benching. Our pitchers will only dumbbell bench, so they usually will press still 2 days a week. The volume is usually at three sets of six pretty much year-round for both days. Unless, you know, again, talking about freshmen, we were just talking about developing a little bit in terms of maybe put some weight on, that sort of stuff. But again, if you develop the pec too much, you will start changing throwing mechanics. Kind of with pressing too, not all pitchers will press year-round. I have some pitchers that might press only in off-season setting, but the moment they start throwing bullpens in games, might only press once a week, or just might go to strictly mobility work during those times when they're throwing. Because again, everyone's arm's kind of really, really different, and I'm in a situation where I can kind of really specify and have a good relationship with my pitching coach, which is obviously our head coach, so we can kind of really kind of hone in what's best for each individual guy.
That stick mobility, that's a pretty big deal for you guys.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, again, you know, talking about people getting away from the basics, I mean, you can go to your Lowe's, your Home Depot, and get those dowel rods for the stick mobility. And it's really, you know, really basic, but it's very, very good. And our kids, whether they come in the weight room or in our bullpen or our cages, are always messing around or going through our stick stretching routine.
Is there a book or a video that you'd suggest for somebody like me to look at?
Yeah, I would say you could probably do some basic YouTube searches and kind of try find. I mean, it seems like nowadays everyone's got a video on YouTube or an Instagram video of some sort. But again, just kind of research where you're getting your information from. If they're solid, then of course, you know, one of the ways I, you know, try to figure out if a strength coach is good, besides what they're, if they're, you know, if they win a lot or lose a lot, but it's really about if a team is injured or not injured. I think to evaluate a good strength coach, you know, a good strength coach is someone whose injury rates are below whatever the national average is.
Yeah, good chance here to plug the ASAP Athletic Strength and Power, over 400 videos, coach. So I know, you know, while you're on vacation, you'll have something to tune into and catch up on some of our videos. You know, another thing, a guy like me, I've been doing a lot more yoga. I've seen, you know, a lot of the places we've been, professional and collegiate, lots of yoga. So, I've been throwing it into my game. What about you guys? What about the Gators?
Yeah, so we haven't done anything with our collegiate guys. Typically, I have a pretty big group that of pro players that come back in the off season that I train. And I kind of like yoga too. I usually in the off season, actually last night I just got back from hot yoga. I started doing that about 2 years ago just as a challenge myself. And again, I like to do things myself before I start implementing with athletes. After about 3 months of myself kind of get into it, I started implementing it with some of my pro guys. So it's something I would definitely implement if it worked into our framework of time with our collegiate guys. But right now it's only something I currently recommend with our pro guys.
6, 7, 10 years ago, I'd visit the big time collegiate programs. And when a workout was over, you know, somebody like Randall Cobb, just comes to mind when I was down at Kentucky, finished a brutal workout. And then, you know, he had to go in this little room next door where they had some nutrition bars and a bagel that he could, you know, slap some peanut butter on. And things have changed, haven't they, Coach? How's it changed with baseball?
Yeah, it's incredible. I was a collegiate football player at the Division II level where the gear we got, we had to buy. But in terms of what our athletes get now food-wise, it's incredible.
It's a game changer.
Game changer. On the road for us, and it's kind of different, you know, how programs do. I mean, baseball, either people are really into it or not into it. But on the road for us, we do a catered breakfast every single time in a separate room throughout the weekend. And then we also do a pregame meal. So the per diem our kids get is minimal. There's still some schools in our conference that just give per diem out, and they're still successful. But again, we just want to be sure that our athletes are fueled up properly for the weekend. Also on the road before every pregame meal, our weigher guys in just before the meal, mainly for hydration. You know, typically when people travel, you know, even though we charter everywhere, you know, people just tend not to drink as much. They won't go to the bathroom on an airplane. If it is a, you know, maybe a short bus trip up to Columbia, South Carolina, again, people don't want to drink a bunch of Gatorade on a bus because they don't want to go to the bathroom. So it's one way we can kind of, you know, just kind of check hydration on the weekend. Then at home, obviously, we do pregame meals 4 hours before our games. And then what we started doing is on Thursday evenings, we serve, you know, a post-game meal, or no, I shouldn't say post-game meal, post-practice meal. And then we also give our guys breakfast and boxes. They can come by on Friday for a home game, grab their breakfast box and go to class. It's pretty involved, but again, I mean, we're trying to fuel guys up for the whole season. And obviously, you know, we're hoping we're playing late in June every year and Omaha, Nebraska, and you got to take care of your body if you want to finishing in Omaha every single year.
You know, Coach, you mentioned Gatorade. Gatorade has a little special meaning here at the University of Florida, doesn't it?
Yes. I guess that would be a conflict of interest for me. But, I mean, obviously Gatorade has a lot of phenomenal products in terms of recovery, and something our guys definitely take advantage of. I mean, now to even the point, they have these nice little push-up pops. You know, if you get sick of drinking Gatorade, you can have a popsicle in the dugout in between innings.
Well, good stuff, Coach. Coach Paul Chandler, he's the head strength and conditioning coach for the Florida Gators baseball squad, has had tons of success. And, Coach, we really appreciate you. Athletic Strength and Power, big thank you for joining us today with this podcast.
Thank you very much.